Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you. Welcome back to Reading the Word. Let's keep reading the Word. I do hope you have your Bible. I'll be reading from the King James Version. If you don't have a Bible, you can always find one online. Or I will do my best to read it in such a way which you can understand. Of course, the Bible can be understood, but sometimes I trip up on the words, but I'm human. We're studying Noah. We're in Genesis chapter 6, and now we're in Genesis chapter 7 as we are going through this. And we ended last week, Genesis chapter 7, verse 4, where the Bible says, God says in heaven, "Yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. It had never rained," as we studied a couple of weeks ago in our study. Which, by the way, if you're wanting to hear any of these sermons again or want to hear different ones, they're all online. www.thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. That's thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. Now, if you remember, it had never rained. It was just kind of misting, and water came up out of the earth to feed or to water everything. But God says, now it's going to rain. Look at chapter 6, or 7 and verse 5. It's very similar to chapter 6 and verse 22. "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord had commanded him." Now verse 6. "Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth." Noah preached for roughly a little more than 100 years. And he converted no one. By today's standards, he would be considered a failure as a preacher. But you know what? I consider Noah a preacher, or a success. You know why? Because he saved his family. On the ark, Noah and his wife. And they had 3 kids, and those 3 kids had a spouse. There's 8 people. Noah may not have saved the entire world, but he saved his entire world. He saved his family. So in my mind, he is a successful preacher. Verse 7, they board the ark. Verse 8, the animals come upon the ark. Verse 9, then went in 2 and 2 unto Noah, unto the ark, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And verse 10, came to pass after 7 days that the water of the flood were upon the earth. Now, as we look at verse 11, we start them being on the ark. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. Back in Genesis chapter 1, God separated the waters. You had the waters below, and you had the firmament. Above the firmament was a water layer. And so when God opens that, water literally starts pouring down and pouring up, and it's going to meet in the middle. That's why people live lesser years after the flood, because more sunlight would get to them, among other things. But this is the first time they could see it rain. I want you to think about these animals. They were climbing to higher ground, people were climbing to higher ground, and there is no doubt in my mind that there were people who had laughed at Noah, who for 100 years had been building this boat with his family, and said, "Noah, it's never going to rain. You don't even know what is rain. I don't even know what rain is. Noah, it's not going to happen." And it starts raining. And water's up to their ankles, and water's up to their knees, and to their hips, and to their chest, and they're screaming. They are trying to get Noah's attention. But the problem is God already shut the door. And at that point, it was too late. Verse 12, "And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." You know, when it rains a day or 2 or 3 days here, we kind of start getting a little nervous because things start to flood. The water table is full. Been a while since we've had that, but it happens from time to time. Think about that for more than a month. A month and 10 days, it is doing nothing but raining. And it's not a light mist. It's the one where if you live in a house with a tin roof like I do, you like to sit and just listen to the rain. But not this long. Not this much rain. We think about 40. Now, 40 is the number of days that Jesus, Elijah, and Moses, all 3 fasted for 40 days. 40 years, that was the number that the Israelites wandered. That was also the number of years each of Israel's kings, Saul, David, and Solomon, reigned. It's the number of days that Goliath taunted Israel before David slew him. And 40 is the number of days that Ezekiel laid on his right side to bear the iniquity of Judea's sins. So God uses 40 a lot. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 13, the Bible says, "And the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah," that's them, "and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them on the ark, and they, and every beast after his kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. There were eight souls, eight human beings that entered on the ark. Now the question becomes, how many people died in the flood? You may have asked that, you may have been asked that. I'm going to give you the definitive biblical answer. Now today we think about the world population is about 7.5 billion. I'm not going to try to be any more specific than that just because it changes literally every second. How many people died in the flood? Some people have suggested there being billions, trillions, millions, hundred thousands of people. Are you ready for my cutthroat definitive answer? All but eight. I don't care if there was 1 million, 2 million, 1 billion, 2 billion, or 1 trillion people. Any number that's greater than eight, those are the ones that passed. There are only eight souls that made it on the ark. In verse 16, the Bible says, they went in, male and female, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. God is the one that shuts the door. I want you to note something, not man. If you were not in the ark when the door closes, then you perish. I think about the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. You're familiar with the story, I feel. There were 10 virgins that had been invited to a wedding, and they all had their lamps trimmed, ready to go. And the bridegroom tarried for a little while. 5 virgins were wise. They brought extra oil. 5 virgins were foolish, and they did not bring enough oil. And so when their oil ran out, they begged the wise virgins, and they said, please give us or sell us some of your oil that we may be ready. And they said, if we give you some, we won't have any. So they go to market, and while they go to market to buy more oil, the bridegroom cometh. Of course, that's a parallel to Jesus Christ coming back. We must be ready. But we see, if you're not ready when he comes, if you weren't in the ark, then you don't make it. We do hope you will make it on the other side of this break. We'll pause. More reading the Word in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
We're back reading the Word. We were just talking about Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. Let's pick up there. As God had commanded him, God shuts the door. Verse 18, the Bible says, waters prevailed, and they were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. Now this water went continually upward. And people, I want to share with you a fact. If you look at the dimensions of the ark, as they were 450 by 75 by 45, that's still the ratio that they used to build ships today. And they did not build the Titanic to those ratios. And you know the story of what happened with the Titanic. Verse 19, and the waters prevail exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven, they were covered. Verse 20, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains, they were covered. Now, in verse 19, it talks about every part of the earth upon the earth. The whole heaven were covered. There are some people who will claim, even scholars, and I use that term loosely there, and they'll say this was a localized flood. It only flooded in a certain part of the world. Yet here the Bible says the entire world flooded. Verse 20 tells us 15 cubits times 1.5, as we've already discussed, that being the mathematical equation for 1.5 feet or 18 inches, means 22.5 feet higher than the tallest mountain. Now, let's do some math. Today, the highest mountain is Mount Everest. It's highest above sea level is Mount Everest. It's 29,028 or 29,029. It just depends on who you ask. So if that were the tallest mountain pre-flood, the water would be 20,050 feet above sea level. That's a lot. If you do some more math, 1 gallon of pure water is 8.345 pounds. 1 gallon or 1 cubic foot of water is 62.43 pounds. 29,050 cubic feet, that's massive. That's 1.8 million pounds at least. That's a lot of water pressure. Verse 24, or 21. all the flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of the moving, both of fowl, cattle, beasts, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and all whose nostrils were the breath of life, all that was in the dry land died. Every living thing, every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and creeping things, and fouled the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Unless you were on the ark, you died. Unless you were an animal on the ark, it died. For 150 days, this water remains. Now, I want you to think about something, because there are people in this world who say the flood did not exist. They say it's a great story. We tell children it's a great fairy tale, but they say it has no bearing on our lives. We cannot see any evidence of this. Well, I think about the destructive power that happened back in Nashville, May 2nd, 2010. That's what we call the Great Nashville Flood, where the bank of the Cumberland overflooded, flooded the Grand Ole Opry House and a lot of things, Opry Mills Mall and many other things, and it caused, they're still trying to recover from some of that. We think about Katrina, Irma, Harvey, all these things. Friends, I want to tell you, I firmly believe that the Grand Canyon was formed during the flood. Here in McMinnville. If you've ever been to Cumberland Caverns, right as you're walking in and the room starts to open up a little bit, if you look straight up, and I'm not making this up, you see seashells and seashell impressions. My wife and I, not too long ago, went to Cathedral Caverns in Woodville, Alabama. They have seashells. They have 11 shark teeth that are embedded in their ceiling. They can't get out. And halfway through, midway up this 40-foot wall, they have a row of sea sponges. Now, ask me, how did that get there? And I'll tell you, when the world flooded, everything changed. You don't get seashells in the middle of Tennessee or in the middle of Alabama embedded in a ceiling without God intervening with the flood. If you ever go to the American Museum of Natural History in New York City, I encourage it. I love that museum. I've been a couple of times. They have a dinosaur room, and they have a, I would say, probably a 10 by 5. I don't know how thick it is. Slab of nothing but pure dinosaur bones that have been fused together. And they say some flood happened and all the dinosaurs were trying to escape and got trapped on each other and pressed down. But to me, it told me that it was the flood. I just read between the lines because they didn't know what they were talking about. Brethren, evidence of the flood is all over the world still today. And yet people say it didn't happen. Let's continue our studies. We're reading the Word. By the way, if you want to catch more of this or hear this again, www.thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. Let's pick up now Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. And God remembered Noah. He didn't forget him. God remembered Noah and every living thing and cattle that was with him on the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The waters are now, it has stopped raining. It's been 150 days, and now it is time for them to eventually get off the ark. Verse 2. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. It finally stops raining. Waters return from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. The ark rested in the 17th day of the month upon Mount Ararat. Now that's in modern-day Armenia. It rests on the 17th day. Now, in modern-day Armenia, they issue silver bullion coins every year that have Noah's Ark on them, Mount Ararat. It stops raining. Verse 5, water's going to decrease continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, the first day of the month, you can finally see those tops of the mountains, the highest tops, not the lowest, but the tops. So verse 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. Now, here's a couple of things I want us to note before we end our study today. First off, this is the first time I read of God, of Noah opening the window. First time I remember this happening. First time we've studied it today. Also, I don't record God talking to Noah or Noah talking to God while it's raining. That's faith. God says, you do this and I'm going to take you, make sure that you are safe. And that's what God did for Noah. We're going to have to stop the study today. Just imagine what happened when Noah looked out that window, and we'll pick up next week with more Reading the Word right here. Until then, may the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.